This is Moment of Hope, brought to you by the Missionary Church Association in Jamaica. I'm your host, Nigel Wilkinson. With us this morning, we have once again Margaret Barnett. Margaret, please introduce our special guest for this morning and our focus.
Good morning, Nigel. It's so good to be back with you this morning. Good morning, Jamaica. Welcome to Moment of Hope. We're fast approaching the end of Reggae Month, a month when the bass line feels heavier, when the drumbeat feels louder, and when the sound of Jamaica rises again from yard to world. But today we go deeper. We ask a sacred question. Can reggae be worship? Can bassline become benediction? Can rhythm become reverence? Reggae was born in Jamaica's struggle, but it was raised in scripture. From Psalms in Trenchtown to praise on the global stage, reggae has always carried a spiritual pulse. Today we explore reggae and worship when rhythm becomes prayer. We are joined by Reverend Dr. Stevenson Samuels, JP. He's the senior pastor of the Waltham Park New Testament Church of God. Pastor Samuels has provided leadership and management in fields of education, religion, music, engineering, counseling, youth development, and male formation. Pastor Samuels, welcome to Moment of Hope.
Good to be here, and thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Rev, before you go into the theology of the rhythm, talk to us about the Jamaican band of the 80s and 90s, Birthright.
Good question, Lady Margaret. Birthright came into being when reggae music was really kind of stepping forward, and it was creating waves, not just locally, but internationally. And we were students at the time at what is now called UTEC. It was CAST at the time. And we really kind of wanted to make an impact on the campus. And we felt that we needed to do a shift in the way we do music on the campus to communicate the gospel of Jesus. It really was an evangelistic project. Birthright was an evangelistic project with the movement called UCCF at the time. And so we really just shifted from conservative Christian music that was foreign-based to local reggae music to make a message strong to the campus.
Pastor, in my preparation, I was trying to do some research on Birthright, yes. And I didn't see a lot of information. How have you recorded and kept the history of this so important work that was done in the 80s and the 90s? Where can we find information on, Birthright?
Well, that's that's a good question. And I would say that we really should have pushed our music and writings of who we are more in the industry. We didn't do a lot of that because we were really more focused on the message more than the music and the group. And so persons were more into the ministry of what we were engaged in. So I would say that Birthright and its legacy more resides in what the people are doing today. For instance, the head of the Baptist, let's say World Alliance, if you want to call it, the World Baptist Movement, was a member of Birthright. That's a major thing. We're talking about the person that is responsible, the president of the work of the Baptist movement in the world is from Birthright. And we can point to other persons. The head of the Gospel Assembly denomination in Jamaica is from Birthright. The immediate past president of Guardian Life, both locally and regionally, is from Birthright. So we really have pushed more the products of the movement and of the
business.
More than the music of the group, yeah.
Good. And of course, you're here. I know you're downplaying yourself, but I didn't say a lot about who you are,
But I don't measure up to those guys.
That's okay. That's fine. We stay in our lanes, eh?
Yes.
In a very good lane. Okay. Let's look a little more about what makes music worship.
Well, I would say that what makes music worship would be the lyrics. It would be the intention of the music, and it would be the work of the spirit behind the music. That for me is what makes music worship.
I noticed you have intentionally left out the genre. To what extent does that add to worship, or is it does it have anything to do with worship?
Well, for me, the genre is a vehicle that carries the worship in the music. So the vehicle is absolutely critical. But when we start focusing on vehicle and medium, then we get into problems, because that's not where we should start. That should be the natural way of or a natural component of the transmission of worship. But the real worship, it lies in the lyrics and in the spirit behind it and the intention. And the music is really, the genre is really a vehicle.
Okay, great. The genre is really a vehicle, so we can drive any vehicle at all, okay? All right. So.
If you put it that way.
so many of the reggae songs have referenced the Psalms. Why do you think reggae feels so connected to biblical language?
Right. Good question. Well, first of all, I would say it is that reggae is a derivative for me of Christianity. Mm. And I'm sure a lot of the persons who are non-Christians would not agree with that, but it is. And then second, I would say that the messages, not just the music now, but the messages of Scripture are right in alignment with liberation, with struggle, with the underclass, with redemption, with exile. You know, all of these themes are coming out of Scripture. And therefore, this is the situation that the typical working class Jamaican have struggled with over the years. So we can identify with the message of reggae, which comes out of Scripture. And then a third reason I would say is that when persons are experiencing abuse and exploitation, they run to religion. That is really easily accessible, the religion that is accessible. And so Christianity was that religion that was able to do that for the Rastafarian group. Yes.
Okay. All right. So roots reggae speaks of liberation. You just spoke about that. Worship speaks of redemption. But are they really separate? Some churches historically resisted reggae. Why do you think that was so?
Well, I would say for a couple of reasons. Some churches are an integral part of the enslavement of the masses. Mm. So because reggae is a retaliation against slavery, then it was impossible to find a place in those churches. It was impossible for reggae to find a place in those churches. And then some churches originating from other cultures connect their music to their message, so that when they brought their brand of Christianity to Jamaica, they imposed their musical genre on the people as an integral part of the faith. So they were unable to disconnect their music and their vehicle, you know, from the message itself. And so it just got confused. The whole thing was as if, you know, spirituality is, you know, the music and the message. And if you don't take our music, then you're not taking the message.
Okay. I did ask the question, why do you think some churches were resisting reggae? But is the past tense, is it something of the past, or is it still present?
Still present, because, you know, we still have trappings of the churches that enslaved us. There is still a kind of vibe existing in those churches. and you can see it now in the class system of Jamaica. Mm. And also, you can still see how these churches from sometimes first world countries who brought the faith and the music to us, that not necessarily enslaved us, but some of us still hold strong to the music that they brought to this country. And I'm a part of a church like that. They came out of the South, and so they brought music that was very West country and Western oriented. And so we still have trappings of that in my church.
Mm-hmm. So if we're talking about liberation and we're talking about cultural relatable, you know, what do we need to do as people of God to ensure that this liberation theology that we ought to be embracing is evident in our worship?
Well, I would say that if we're going to ensure that we remain authentic and keep the thing pure, we have to have, first of all, a conscious mind that this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the liberation of people. We're dealing with the identification of the way we express ourselves. We have to identify with that and accept that as authentic. And we have to begin to just employ it in our worship. That's what we have to do. We have to take a conscious effort that we have to employ what is at the very core and at the very heart of the people of Jamaica in worship.
Okay. Have you ever faced any kind of resistance, criticism in using reggae in worship?
Certainly, Doc. I tell you, senior ministers have demonized it in their sermons, in my presence, and also persons have walked out of events while I'm doing ministry in reggae. And then persons have also rebuked me personally for, you know, employing reggae music in worship and in church.
So have you felt the need to dumb it down, you know, to be careful in how you conduct worship or anything like that?
Well, I don't know if I would use the word dumb down, but I must confess that sometimes I have to readjust how hard I present the message in reggae. Sometimes I have to soften it, you know, be careful how the extent to which I use those kinds of percussive engagements in the ministry, and those more lower tones in the ministry. Because some people feel that is just too heavy, lower frequency sounds and so on, and use more high frequency instrumentation to communicate the message. But it's still reggae, but, you know, the more high frequency instruments and so on, yeah.
How do you ensure that music stays worship-centered and not performance-driven?
I would say, firstly, by maintaining a solid relationship with God. We have to do that. And also being conscious of your calling. I have to be sure that my calling is solid, that it is authentic, that it is sure. And I would also say by maintaining a strong theological foundation on music and on ministry. If I do those three things, then I feel pretty comfortable with the worship-centeredness of what I'm doing.
We're having a very interesting conversation with Reverend Dr. Stevenson Samuels, pastor of the New Testament Church of God, the Waltham Park New Testament Church of God. And we know him as a worshiper and also one of the founders of Birthright, the Jamaican band of the 80s and 90s. If we believe that reggae is part of us, is part of our worship, and has a place in worship, where do we go from here so that there are this kind of dissonance around worship and the use of the Patois Bible in church doesn't become this thing that looks like it's an addendum, an appendage to worship? How can we ease that into worship?
Right. And I think that's where it really matters now, you know. I think that we need to share more our theology and our philosophy with the leadership of the church. You know, whatever level of leadership we're engaging, we should, you know, engage them with our theology and philosophy about worship and music and heart language and so on. And then also, I think we need to, those of us who are very convinced about this, we need to use softer expressions of the rhythm in parts of traditional songs. So, you know, if we're doing Great Is Thy Faithfulness, Margaret, maybe we'd want, maybe we'd want to use very soft expressions of reggae music within that song. You know, it's more palatable then. And then we can use the genre amongst the youth population first within the congregation, because they are more open to change. I would also say that we can start using foreign reggae gospel songs to engage our local persons, because sometimes foreign gospel, reggae gospel, is more palatable to a certain class of Jamaican people. They can handle it better. But when we give them the real authentic thing coming from Jamaica, they struggle with that. And then we can also infuse very popular, child-friendly, non-aggressive, non-liberation songs into our worship experience. So instead of, you know, this hard, you know, kind of message, which is very authentic as believers, maybe we can soften the message and soften the rhythm so that it becomes more acceptable. And I would also say that we can engage the rhythm without the Jamaican language. So sometimes if you put the rhythm with the language, it feels really difficult to swallow. But if you pull out the language and leave the rhythm, you know, then persons can embrace it more. Or to put in the language and take out the rhythm, it's easier. You can, last thing on this, you can also reduce the percussive low-frequency components of the music and increase the melodic, more high-frequency components of the music, and it becomes more acceptable.
You know, you've sent my antennas all over. I noticed you said rhythm and not rhythm. And I said, that's where we are having the challenge. But you know,
yes.
I think that it is so very important for us to be careful of the distractions, you know.
And yes, absolutely.
You know, and even though we want to embrace the culture, I think that the responses you just gave. Are so interesting. Let me ask one last question now before you pray for us.
Yes.
Are you available to go around to churches or to have a seminar, webinar, something to just help worship leaders and pastors, you know, how to really find this balance, you know, in what church looks like today, so that everybody can feel. I don't know if church is supposed to make you feel comfortable, but
Yes. And I am, actually, and I do it even in my own denomination and in other denominations. In fact, coming up, they're having a Caribbean seminar on leadership, and they are inviting me to participate in that too. And at the Bethel Bible College, where they do theological studies there. I do lectures in music and worship, you know. So whether it is in that academic space or that Caribbean regional space or just in a local church, I am available and I actually do presentations in worship.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Reverend Dr. Stevenson Samuels. You have been so inspiring this morning.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask you to pray for our artists, to pray for our churches, and to pray that our culture will embrace and carry the sound, whether it's going to be reggae, and reggae is what we're talking about now in our worship. Please pray for us.
Thank you. Thank you. Creator of the universe, the one who is absolutely and infinitely creative and innovative, it is to you, O God, that we come, thanking you that you have placed in us the divine nature to be creative and innovative. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of music. We thank you for its power to communicate a message, unite people around a cause, bring peace and harmony in addition to advancing human development. And this is truly, Lord, a manifestation of the extent of your generosity to us. May we use music responsibly, yet assertively, to proclaim your truth in all the earth. And may we employ this powerful music called reggae to communicate the powerful message of the gospel to the ends of the earth. This is our heart music, O God. So help us to understand it, to embrace it, and employ it for your exaltation and man's edification, so that your kingdom may come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we lift up all gospel musicians that are employing the reggae genre in their ministry. I pray that you will bless them and that you will cause them to get deeper in you and to be able to use this music form in a very powerful way. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. As we close today, we remember that worship has never been about style. It has always been about surrender. Psalm 96 and 1 says, "Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth." All the earth here means every culture, every rhythm, every sound. Jesus said in John 4:23, "The true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." So whether it's the organ or one drop choir or bass line, what matters is the heart. Until next time, keep the faith, keep the rhythm, and keep the worship. Amen.
If you are in need of prayer, counseling, or further information, please call the Missionary Church Association's head office, or you can WhatsApp them at 876-791-0527. A reminder that regardless of what you encounter in life, there is hope, and there is power in prayer. Hebrews 11 verse 6 reminds us that God rewards those who earnestly seek Him, and so we encourage you to pray by yourself or join with a family member or a friend, and let us pray, being mindful that God answers prayers. Do join us next week.